Greetings, and welcome to a Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. This is really a Fireside Chat, literally because I have a fire in the fireplace. Just wanted you to know that. I am your host, the Zany Mystic, also known as Lance White. Tonight, I'm delighted to welcome back a good friend, Daniel Jacob. Daniel is a conscious channel, visionary writer, bioenergy body worker, and all-around student of life. One of his websites, www.thereconnections.net, contains a multidimensional galaxy of metaphysical information. His other group, thestarchildren.com, focuses on the new kids, with metahuman consciousness sometimes referred to as star children, indigos, crystals, rainbows, dolphin, and psychic children. This website offers a haven for self-discovery and exploration for all. He is the father of two sons, ages 31 and 35, and lives in the greater Seattle area of Washington. So let's welcome Daniel to the show now and find out what's happening in the Danielverse.
Hi, Daniel, Lance. How are you doing? You did that so well. I'd just like to take you along with me and have you introduce me wherever I go.
Oh, wonderful. Geez. I could use a job, and you know how the recession is hitting everybody. So.
Well, yeah.
I'll do it for free.
And it's been extra cold up here in the Northwest, so the fireside part sounds good, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was cold enough here for me to justify going to the effort. Plus, it just seems more authentic to actually have a fire in the fireplace when I'm having a fireside chat.
Yes, that's even light a match or anything.
A candle. A candle works, too. I was thinking about how to begin the show, and I could do it a jillions of ways, and I think the best way is to just kind of let you share about what you've been experiencing since we last spoke, and maybe mention some of the changes that you've noticed going on.
It's been
at least a couple of years since we've done a show, hasn't it?
It's been a while, yes, indeed. And when we were on last, I talked about my experience as a conscious channel working with a group of energies called the Reconnections that came in 1991. I wrote my first transmission from the soul group of the Reconnections on 11/11/1991. After having seen the digital 11/11 on all my clocks for at least a year prior.
Oh, wow.
You know, everybody has a story about the 11/11 experience and, you know, the entrainment with this new energy of universal oneness and multidimensionality that's opening up the earth into a really, really fun place. We could probably call it Funhouse Earth. Although right now, since we're in the process of peeling away some layers, it's not so fun for some folks.
Yeah.
But once the cocoon is off, the butterflies will roam free, I suspect.
Well, that's what I'm hoping. I mean, the last 8 years haven't been all that fun.
Oh, that's for sure. They've been necessary, but not all that fun. And hopefully, this next 8 years, or actually 4 years between
right.
now, 3 years between now and 2012, sort of a target date, but not necessarily the same for everyone.
Right.
Some people are already in that energy, as we talked about the other day.
Mm-hmm.
When I began working with the Reconnections, they basically described themselves as all those parts of my expanded self that I had to forget about when I decided to become human. And they challenged me with the idea that that I'm not really a human being who has spiritual experiences, but I'm so much more than I think I am, that I'm actually a spiritual being who comes from an expanded state and then has chosen to have a human experience.
Mm.
And that's sort of a reversal from the way we were thinking about it prior to meeting the guides. And working with it, I'd gone through many different religious traditions and spiritual studies and philosophy and psychology, but as they began to give me what's called bridge concepts that open up a person's perspective from the 3D reality box
mm-hmm.
to a multidimensional possibility box or a possibility array of boxes, it's been a real eye-opener. And the websites, reconnections.net and thestarchildren.com, are dedicated to sharing a whole lot of that information that's been coming through since then in the form of transmissions, but also commentaries and articles that I've written about them and others have written. We've had great participation from many people on the discussion forums that we have. We have two of those. And then also people who write in poetry or send art. It's powerful to connect with people around the world and realize that what I thought early on was just my own peculiar experiences of awakening, they're actually very universal. And
you're seeing this going on all over the world.
Well, I'm not seeing it, but I'm certainly hearing about it. I've seen it happen in some places because we've done traveling to do conclaves and such, but I certainly hear about it. I get fun little letters from people. Sometimes it'll just be anonymous, and they'll just say, what you're writing about is right on. It matches my experience, although I never had words for it. Thank you for giving it words. And so early on, the guide sort of tipped me to what my contract of service would be when I came into this new flow. And it's sort of like a color announcer for the all that is as this goes through. And I'm not the only one. There are many, many, many people that are sharing the different colors of this rainbow experience called ascension or reconnection to source. And we were talking on the phone the other day about symptoms, characteristics, traits, and changes that are taking place inside folks.
Yes, yes.
And we thought perhaps we might get into that tonight, because it's fascinating what seems to be happening as the perceptual filters, or what we call veils, are peeled away a little bit at a time.
Mm-hmm.
All this stuff that people thought might be arriving from another planet or another dimension, it's all right there, and it's always been there. It's just that these perceptual filters, almost like glasses we've been wearing, have kept us focused into specific realities that we decided to try out as human beings. And then as we become meta-human, as we begin to open up our senses and our eyes to the rest of who we are, then the possibilities just expand, and we see it, we see shadows of it coming out in, like, the movies and TV, and we see it coming out in the literature of the day.
Well, I was reading your story about your own self-discovery on the Star Children site, and you mentioned several movies. One of them was the one with the Robbie the Robot, and another one was The Contact. And you mentioned the Spielberg movie Taken, which I just recently watched just days ago. I absolutely fell in love with that movie. It is so beautifully, I mean, it's like that's exactly what's happening. You couldn't get too much closer, you know. And then the new movie that came out with the remake of The War of the Worlds was rather interesting, too.
It was. It created a whole different scenario, somewhat different scenario for the Martian invasion, just as the remake of The Day the Earth Stood Still happened, too. It added dimensions to it, but it didn't take, it didn't repeat what happened before. So I always say to people when I talk about The Day the Earth Stood Still, is you don't take one of them without the other. You know, you add in, the first one was so classically wonderful and it happened so early on in 1951.
Oh, yeah.
Where they were talking about concerns about nuclear war.
Yeah.
And then the new one talks about concerns about ecology and global warming.
Yes.
But it added some nice pieces about this sort of strange spacesuit that he had, which was an organic spacesuit that almost looked like a cocoon of some sort.
Yes.
A chrysalis that he was breaking out of when he came, when they opened him up and he started walking around on the Earth, which was completely different than the original.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And they also lost the robot from this situation. They didn't do much with the robot this time, probably because of limitations in the technical areas. They wanted to use it for other things. But, you know, these things, the reconnections refer to movies and TV and magazines and so on as dreams of the mass mind.
Mm-hmm.
And basically the people who are sensitive, who have been given the gift of putting together these stories, the storytellers, like Spielberg, wow, what a guy.
Mm-hmm.
They bring this in from you might say, the mass consciousness, the subconscious that kind of flows across the planet. They bring all this in, and it's almost like, here's a clue, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Here's a key. And so we kind of chew on that a little bit, and we're given a buffer in the fact that we say, well, it's only a movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Just like dreams, you know, we say, well, it was only a dream.
Yeah.
But really, the difference between dream reality and waking reality is simply the density of the representation of it, certainly doesn't take away from the reality of it. The multiverse, as the reconnections talk about, is this vast collection of alternative realities that represents and honors every belief that ever could be and then some.
Huh.
And so when people talk about the multiverse, we're talking about, you see a picture of a house, and then you see a picture of that same house in the rain, and you see a picture of that house empty, and you see a picture of that house filled with children. And one house, you know, a whole spreadsheet of houses.
Huh.
And you see that pictured in The Matrix, if you remember, when he says, we're going to need some guns. And so he snapped his fingers, and all these guns appeared.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then he started pulling guns off the deal. There's going to come a time when we're able to, when we access our software that logs us into the multiverse, and many people are doing it right now, by the way, we'll be able to go, you know, helicopter pilot. And then, you know, there it is. It's just being able to get our limitation programming out of the way so that we can allow for what's already there, you know, for us to do.
Well, yes, it seems like we've become masters of limitation and fragmentation.
Exactly. They talk about ascended masters, and then they say, well, you're the descended masters. You're the ones who came down and decided to get into this stuff.
Well,
so at a key point in time, a program goes off inside each of us like an alarm clock that says, time to wake up.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And some people have had that program go off years and years ago, and some people won't have it happen for quite some time yet.
Mm.
And it all depends on what their itinerary is, you know? If they want to spend a little bit more time playing in this particular reality format and not be distracted by other things, then they'll be kept from that.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of like a horse with blinders on, walking through the city. So he's not distracted. Then you take the blinders off, and all of a sudden he can see things he couldn't see before.
Do you think that everybody, every fragment, it will have a moment of conscious choice where that will be an obvious, you know, where we'll be able to make that choice consciously?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, good. Good.
I think there's a universe in which it happens. Now, each universe plays out simultaneously in the multiverse like radio stations, you know, on the same radio dial.
Mm-hmm.
You just turn the channel, so to speak, and you get access to a new radio station.
Mm-hmm.
So there are people now who are going into meditation, and they're actually accessing realities way in the future or in the past. They go right there. and it's almost like they're watching it on a TV show or being in the TV show.
Wow. What about the idea that the Hopis and some other prophecies talk about timeline splitting, that there's a moment when at some point there's a nexus point where the timelines actually shift and separate?
There are universes where that happens, too.
Okay.
In other words, every time you hear a prophecy, every time somebody comes on and says, this is going to happen,
yeah.
What they're basically announcing is that there's, you know, that show is going to be playing just down the hall. If you want to go down there, just get a ticket and have a seat. And that's what's so cool about it, because we don't have to disprove or debunk anybody. We
yeah.
can allow them their place in the multiverse. All they have to do is purchase a ticket and get on the train going to that place.
Even if it's a pretty terrible place to go.
Well, and there are some people who are really interested in that.
Yeah, yeah.
They're looking for the possibility. Maybe they've got guilt stuff that they want to explore.
Yeah, yeah.
Or revenge stuff they want to explore. It's all there.
So it is really almost like a cosmic amusement park and a chance to expand and experience.
Right. Or are they, one of the transmissions talked about the cosmic video store.
Ah,
you know,
I like
and you
that.
Can just go check out a video, except the difference between a multiversal video and one of these ones we have is you can actually step into that video.
Wow.
And they even spoke about activities and operations that are going on with certain faith friends who help acclimate us during our times of expansion, where during dream state particularly, we are taken into, you might say, a hyperspace kind of a situation, and
uh-huh.
we are allowed to, our personalities are kind of laid out like pieces of an engine, you know, like a mechanic would be working on the engine, and let's say you've got a part over here that has to do with your creative self and a part over here that has to do with your critical self and a part of here that's maybe your avatar or your prophet, you know, all these different parts, and each one is allowed to go into a holodeck of sorts to play out whatever things need to be played out so that they can return to their sense of purity as to who they are.
Wow.
And then they're remixed and remingled.
Wow.
Back into to the entity which you are, only everything now has new flavor.
Wow, interesting.
And that's actually one of the reasons why we refer to this work as personal alchemy. Because alchemy of old was, you know, I'd say the great granddaddy of chemistry, but it had a lot to do with, the focus was on changing base metals into gold, or transformation, or transmutation of materials.
Mm-hmm.
But underneath it all, really, the alchemists were people working with spiritual transformation. You know, they were the ones who were teaching us about these changes that go on inside.
So this has been going on a long time.
Long, long time at different levels, and it'll go on for a long, long time, because each of these possibilities plays out in their entirety. And this thing about 2012, I have a dear friend who's a shaman in Guatemala who's worked with the Mayan people for a long time, and when she came to be with us a few years back, I said to her, what's the deal about 2012, you know? Is this going to be an exact date or whatever? And she basically says, no, it's just an indicator, a target date, somewhat like the shifting of the ages. Like we're going out of the Piscean age, we're going into the Aquarian age, but the shift from Piscean to Aquarian doesn't happen overnight. It happens over a period of maybe 700 to 1,000 years.
Right, right.
And people just jump into it when they're ready.
Uh-huh.
And then they can go, they can speed on ahead to wherever they want to go.
So nobody is held back in any way.
No, there'll be periods where people will, just like the year 2000, if you remember all the stuff we had about Y2K.
Oh, yes.
You know, everybody thought, oh my God, you know, Y2K is going to be a big deal. And then things came and went. and it was like nothing happened.
Yeah.
I feel certain there's going to be people who will go, 2012, the big deal, and it'll come and go, and they'll go, what happened? Well, I guess I'll just go to work. You know?
Oh, my gosh. I hope I'm not one of them.
But by the same token, all around them, there will be people who, in their own time and by their own contract and choice,
right,
will log into something special and be taken, so to speak, as the movie says.
Well, you know, there are some people who talk about the idea that we're actually engineered by ET races, that we're there, in a sense, we were created by them, and that we've been monitored and adjusted all along.
That is another viewpoint. I mean, you can use that as a governing viewpoint if you like. The reconnections kind of speak about it in a little more expanded terms by calling us compilation entities and saying that, you know, we're part ET, but we might also be part fairy, devic energy.
Right, right.
God, goddess, angelic energy.
Right, right.
A lot of these contexts of understanding were spun and developed to be able to create a system to explain the unexplainable, to give
mm-hmm.
form to the formless. And what we're trying to do is create an openness of and tolerance of viewpoint to allow people to be as creative and as sovereign as they want to be in terms of defining how their world is viewed and looked at.
Well, that makes a lot of sense, and also if that means that anything that I come up with as a possibility, you're going to say, yes, that's one possibility in the multiverse.
Yeah, and I have people who write me all the time who go, now, here's what's the deal, and they'll name it all off, and they'll go, is that the way it is? And I said, uh-huh. It is if you say so.
I love it.
And we're not just talking about humoring them. We're talking about an actual metaphysical fact.
Right, right, right.
That some of these things, which some people call pipe dreams,
you're right, right,
are actually portals to other dimensions.
Yes. Can you share a little bit more about that and about stargates and black holes? And I noticed that you had an article up about the sun and the magnetosphere shifting.
Yes, we've had a huge, this December, we had a huge opening again in the magnetosphere. NASA is laying it out, and it's still, the link is still out there on the index page of the reconnection site.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, when the guides first approached me in their very first transmission, they talked about these levels of reality that are going to be opening up.
Uh-huh.
For example, the ozone layer, you know, is sort of disappearing, allowing more and more sunlight, solar energy to come in. The veil of forgetfulness surrounding our consciousness is diminishing. It's like many of us have holes in that veil so big they're like Swiss cheese. The human immune system is opening up, allowing for infusion of new and unusual energy from many, many different sources. For example, there are many energies that were actually frozen into the earth and held dormant there for thousands of years, speaking in a linear sense.
Right, right.
That when we have global warming, it melts, and those energies, you know, come back to a state of, you might say they go out of the dormant state and they come online. And then they begin to work with us too. So many of these new energetic states that people go through are the result of awakening vibrations that haven't been seen on the earth for a long time.
Mm.
Or maybe that might have even come here from space by means of meteorites crashing into the earth. And as the sun continues to heat that up, the whole planet becomes like a cauldron in which all of these essences and elements that have been maybe sleeping for a long to long, long time are reactivated, reawakened, and we have this continuing evolution of vibrational stuff. And is it any wonder why people are going through all kinds of physical changes inside themselves from sickness type things? We call it global acceleration syndrome, or GAS for short, where people have this numbness and tingling in their body. They have spaciness, muscle aches and pains, insomnia, all these various things. And we always encourage people when they talk about their physical symptoms to, go to a medical doctor, go to whatever practitioner you feel you need to. If you can balance this, if you can heal this, whatever it is, go ahead and do it, because there will come a time where you'll realize we're not in the process of healing it, it's in the process of healing you.
Ooh.
It's taking you to a new place, and there's a lot of fear that comes up inside of folks, and there's a lot of anxiety about, everybody wants change, but then they get afraid when the things start changing.
Yes. Well, it's like walking up to the cliff and not knowing whether you're going to be able to fly or not.
Exactly. And in a way, you really don't know that until you're in the air, midair. But there's all this speculation in the mind that happens as you're making your steps that way.
It seems that a lot of this process of the ascension process, if you want to call it that, it has to do with letting go and allowing. And I have a hard time myself with, various energy things that go on. But also, I've always loved metaphysical and alter realities. And I feel when I hear about all these different things that people are actually experiencing that I kind of missed the boat. But I guess this was the path that I chose, and that when it's time for those switches to be turned on, they will be, I guess. Is that how it works?
Well, that you brought up a really good thing there, and I guess that's the next part about what I'd like to talk about the guides are emphasizing now.
Okay.
The perceptual shift that needs to take place as we continue to lift our vibration. Sooner or later, we've got to understand that we are one with each other. We are many, but we are also one.
Mm-hmm.
And each of us, when we look at our world,
mm-hmm.
what we see in our world is really a reflection of some aspect of ourself.
Mm-hmm.
It's as though our reality is a multidimensional crystal with many facets,
mm-hmm.
and each facet presents us with a mirror that tells us a little bit more about our multidimensional self. So you're walking down the street and someone comes up to you and says, "My gosh, I was just visited by a spaceship last night." And the tendency, if we're in separation consciousness, is to go, "Oh, why him and not me?"
Yes.
But the insight the guides are bringing to us, and I have to be reminded of it all the time, is that is a fragment of you that just came to you and said, "Hey, guess what happened?"
Yes.
And if we are in a reconnected mindset,
yep.
we can go, "Hot dog, guess what we're doing?"
Yes.
And in fact, his complete experience of being lifted up into that ship and so on and so forth is available at the Cosmic Video Store.
Yeah.
And at the time, and space where you're ready to integrate that, you'll be able to do it as self. You'll be able to project right into the center of that.
Yes.
And do it as self. Now they're encouraging us now in this 3D, sort of ambient 3D reality we're in, to begin trying to think this way before it actually starts happening. So they go, imagine that this person you're talking to is really an aspect of yourself.
Yeah.
Sort of like love your neighbor as yourself.
Yes.
Somebody said that. but we always thought they said, well, in the same way you want to be treated, treat them.
Yeah.
But I think he knew more.
Yeah.
He knew that person you're looking at is actually a mirror of a part of your multidimensional self coming to visit you and say, guess what you've been doing lately?
Yes.
Now, this would be true of sitting and watching CNN on the TV, reading a magazine, talking to someone on the computer. Each person who approaches me, the guides will remind me, this is a part of yourself.
Wow.
And then when we have a huge emotional reaction to that, like a revulsion, for example, if somebody says, oh my gosh, you know, how could anybody do that? Like a mother who drowns her children or someone like that. They encourage us to say, realize that this is part of the collective shadow. And everybody has a part in this. Everybody is sharing in this. It's not like you went out to drown your children, but how many people have said to their kids, I could kill you.
Yes.
Or had it said to them. So there's part of that collective shadow, which this is, that's a term that was originally coined by Carl Jung, who is actually part of the soul group of the Reconnections. Over the years, both Freud and Jung and several others too.
Wow.
Contribute tones into the energy.
Wow. Incredible.
I haven't had any conversations specifically with them, and I don't channel them per se, but their influence is very felt in there, in a lot of the teachings. But the shadow work that you would be doing would be to just challenge yourself inside, okay, what part of me might this represent? You know, maybe I don't have a memory of actually physically killing someone, but have I ever had hatred, you know, in my heart? Have I ever carried that? And then realize that there are extreme expressions of everything. And you just open yourself to the degree that it's possible to be able to realize that the human condition is made up of dark things, light things, and many things in between. That we're not all one thing or the other, but we're a huge collation of many different traits, some of them animal traits, some of them vegetable, some of them mineral, and many of them divine.
Whoa.
And so we are, you might say, the meeting place for all these kingdoms and realms to come together and produce these compilation beings called human beings.
And as you said, that everything that happens in our life is a personal mirror, which is reflecting perfectly back everything we need to know.
And we learn how to interpret that a lot through what I call metaphorical or allegorical thinking. Through symbolism. So you look at something and you see how it appears and you say to yourself, okay, now what could this be symbolizing about me, or what message is this carrying for me? And that is, they call that spatial thinking.
Yes.
And it's one of the key attributes for the children of the New Earth, be they indigos or crystal children or star children, the ability to be able to think in that way.
Yeah, I've been doing a lot of that lately.
Almost
as if everything is a metaphor.
Yeah, you're personalizing then. You're personalizing the universe.
Yeah.
For example, you know, our economy is going through huge changes. And so I began writing a series called Shifting Energy, Shifting Values. So that the key to understanding why the monetary system is dancing all over the place is to understand that we're changing our value system. We're shifting from materialism to metamaterialism. What would you call it? We're starting to understand that each of us is source.
Yeah.
For our life experience, that it's not a matter of how much money can you gather in or how much you, even that you can earn, you know, but it's more along the line of as you think it in your heart, that's the way your universe will begin to order itself.
Wasn't an aspect of that that humanity as a whole chose to give its power away to a few elite and allow them to kind of take control over for a while?
Yep, it's another game. You know, it's another one of the games at the amusement park. There are people who want to go through lifetimes. They say, okay, what would it like to be a slave, you know?
Right, right.
What would it be like to be a king? What would it be like to be a pauper, to be an artist, you know, to be a woman?
Yeah.
What, to be a man, to be a child? All these experiences are there and open to us. And if we were to understand ourselves at the soul level,
mm-hmm.
we would understand the tremendous curiosity and hunger for experience that is present, that gives birth to all these strange and unusual lifetime experiences that people are having.
Yes.
It's like it's a laboratory and the souls are all standing up there going, now what would this look like if we did that?
Yeah.
Let's create a platypus, you know?
Well, right now we're kind of seeing a lot of extinctions going on. What do you think we're creating there? Maybe
a lot of extinctions, did you say?
Yes, of various species, including ourselves.
Yes, the possibility of extinction. Well, they mentioned that in The War of the Worlds. He said, you think this is your planet?
I love that line.
And really nothing ever goes away, but sometimes, just as in a stage play, you'll have something or someone simply walk off stage for a while.
Yeah.
And then when the time comes, when their cue comes up, they walk back in.
Yeah. Well, don't the Hindus have a thing that they talk about where at the close of an age, God comes out and he bows, and then as he turns and walks away, a whole new, the other face is seen?
I'm not familiar that familiar with it, but it sounds good to me.
Yeah. One thing I wanted to ask you that has been coming up in my own group at Yahoo a lot, a big discussion about karma. Somebody mentioned that during the harmonic convergence, all karma was released, and there is no more. Is there karma in the first place? I mean, how are we responsible for our actions?
Well, you might say that karma is a separationist view of multidimensionality before we were ready to handle the idea of multidimensionality, simultaneous parallel existence.
Mm-hmm.
Karma sees it more in a cyclical type way, so it's viewed in a time continuum. But when you look at the view of the idea that all time is now.
Right.
And everything exists simply as a floor or a level of consciousness. Then the person who is doing, you know, who is committing a sin against you is also you.
Yeah.
And so the perpetrator is the victim and the victim is the perpetrator simultaneously.
Right.
At different levels of reality.
Right.
When we can learn to embrace that and begin to factor that into a whole new paradigm, that's when we will be able to let go a lot of this legalistic thinking.
Yes.
And a lot of this business about locking people up for years and penalties and this, that, and the other. Humanity will begin to understand that extremes in consciousness are brought forth by other extremes in consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And that every time you want to get very, very, very light, you're going to have to also produce something very, very, very dark to create the full spectrum of what it is.
Mm.
Like you read in the book of Genesis, after the creation of the world, it said, God looked upon this thing and said, it is good. And that, you know, after that, all hell broke loose.
It was downhill ever since.
Well, because, you know, the creation of something to say, this is good, automatically invokes its opposite.
Exactly.
To
come
in and complete the picture.
Exactly.
So
yeah.
When people think of ascension, they think we're going up. Like we're going up to a castle in the sky.
Yeah.
But really, we're expanding concentrically in all directions.
Yes. Yeah.
So
yeah.
As we expand out up, we're also going down into the underworld, going down into the depths of the darkest recesses of our subconscious. And the good news is that the tone of oneness, which sort of runs through the center line of all that, provides an opportunity for the sharing and mixing and mingling of viewpoints and experiences and soul essence to the degree where the braiding of those various attributes produces a soul that's so balanced and so wonderful and so user-friendly.
Yeah.
Because it has compassion, it has passion, it has wisdom, it has vision, it has all these elements, not just a few.
Yes. Yeah. Wow. That's beautifully put, Daniel.
Thank
you. It's really nice.
Thanks. It's not always beautifully received, though. And there are many people who will say, who have said over the years, Jacob does not channel from the light.
Ah.
Whether you'll read some of the things that I'll write, will like about the role of the dark forces in the coming transformation.
Do you
they'll
wanna,
read that
this?
And they'll go, "Oh, we don't want that."
Can you address that a little bit? Some people I notice do talk about the idea that as the light increases, that the dark is also increasing its vibration.
Yes, and as it increases its vibration, it moves up to the point where humans must acknowledge that we are all these things, not just a few.
Mm-hmm.
We don't
mm-hmm.
pick and choose from the thing. I want to be a saint. I want to be a healer. I want to be a love. I want to be this. You're all of it, you know. And if you think that you've attained something, turn around and look at the rest of the world at your mirrors.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And the key here is that it's not there to be fixed.
Yeah.
It's just there to be acknowledged and embraced as part of the is. And then it sort of fixes itself. Once you've paid enough attention in your universe to all of your animals from different, you know, the dark animals as well as the, you know, the fawns and the rabbits and the bunnies and, you know, everybody wants Care Bears and all that. But there's snakes and spiders.
Spiders, yeah.
You know, there's all of them, you know. And
the
point is, it's just to say, I am all of this. We are all of this.
Right.
And then we're able to free ourselves up from any kind of alienation. Now, we see this beautifully working out in government where we have President Obama now bringing together the circle of rivals, you know. He's bringing the animals all into the same cage and getting
into
them
the
to sit down at the table together. Now, in politics, you know, you never know really what you're seeing.
Yeah.
For sure. But what he's talking about is sort of what's really happening in the etheric realm.
Oh.
Where we have angels and gods and goddesses, and we also have demons and divas and all of these different beings, you know. Coming together, sitting around the same table.
Yeah.
From a spiritual standpoint and sharing whatever it is that they have to bring to us in terms of a lesson.
Interesting. Interesting. It does seem that there's a breath of fresh air that wasn't there before.
Yes. And if you've gone too much into one side of the thing where you only think about the lighter type things of life, the happiness, the prosperity, the love, the peace, then oftentimes spirit will bring a dark line through that and bring some tragedy into the situation so that there is a, you know, a peaking of conflict and interest. It's like, that's what makes a good movie.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Is they set you all up and you say, oh, isn't this the sweetest little thing? And then, you know, they bring the villain in.
Yeah.
That's what gets everything moving, you know, and we have a whole infinity worth of story plots where all these things happen, where the dance of, you know, the Dark Master begins to make inroads and then the other guy digs himself out of it. It's very much like the Jedi.
Oh yeah.
You know,
yeah.
and the Sith Lords. And,
oh yeah.
And then you find out that the guy's your dad, you know. I am your father.
And
people are going, uh-oh, I wasn't ready for that.
Yep, that was good.
Find out that part of yourself.
Yeah.
So people will say, I don't want to hear that. And so I go, that's fine. There are universes where you can go where you don't have to ever hear that.
Huh.
There are rooms in the hotel that are soundproof. You can go in and shut the door and never have to deal with that.
Huh.
But the thing being is that it stops the expansion.
Yes. That's the problem.
A lot of people say, I don't know about going to heaven the way they portrayed it. I sit up on a cloud and play the harp all day. I get tired of that after a while.
Yeah, 5 minutes.
But again, you know, all of those things are sort of mythological concoctions of how people explain the unexplainable, and what's cool about it is that everybody gets to do that. You know, you get to write your own myths, you get to write your own, you get to populate your own universe. You do it from the soul self, not necessarily from the ego. What's good about the ego is the ego is the audience for all this.
Huh.
And even though the ego is part of the oneness, the ego is the part that forgot who bought the Christmas present, who wrapped it, who put it under the tree.
Yeah.
The ego is the part that gets to open the present and be surprised.
Huh. Interesting.
Like when you tell me you just saw the miniseries Taken.
Uh-huh.
I go, oh, I'm envious, you know, because I saw it back in 2002 when Sci-Fi was running it, and I loved every minute of it. And there's a part of me that goes, gee, I wish I could forget that I ever saw that and go back and see it again for the first time. I believe that's why God, if you want to use that expression, creates people. So that through us, he can go back and experience good movies again and again and again.
Yeah. And also, it seems like there's an element of reunion in that process that, and I don't quite understand what I mean by this, except that when you reunite with a larger, expanded aspect that's beyond your comprehension, it's like, oh my God.
Yeah.
You know, it's such an amazing process, and it's almost like you are on this journey and you have this story to tell, and then you come back and say, well, look what I did, you know, and we all have these stories to share, and it seems like it could be a lot of fun, you know, reuniting with our expanded self.
Sitting around the fireside chat.
Yeah.
Telling everybody their stories.
You bet.
And showing scars, you know, you lift up your shirt and go, you think that's something, let me show you this.
Yeah.
And, it is. It's a wonderful journey of consciousness. And when we talk about reconnection, we talk about the adventure of forgetting and then the adventure of remembering again.
Yeah.
And that's what we're in the process of doing now. And it might look very, very dark because the appearance of darkness, the appearance of jeopardy. They were talking the other day about asteroids hitting the Earth, you know. There's a whole line of thought about Planet X.
Oh, yeah. What about
and,
that?
And, you know, how the government's trying to put all that stuff together and this, that, and the other. And,
yeah.
And the feeling of jeopardy is what gets us heated up. And as we get heated up, we burn away the veils that have been hiding our eyes.
Huh.
And so just as we reach, that's really the source of planetary warming, what you call global warming, is the heat that's generated by the energy going up our spine, which the yogis call kundalini.
Right.
And when the heat generates, every part of our reality reflects this heat, because remember, reality is our mirror.
Huh. Could that be referred to as the process of purification by fire?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Purification by fire, that's a kind of an alchemical term, in the fact that they would take these metals and they would heat them up to tremendous heat, you know, over a furnace. And then they would spoon out the various elements to create this particularly precious element they call the Philosopher's Stone. And the Philosopher's Stone is supposedly symbolized most of the time by gold, because of gold's malleability. But I truly believe that the Philosopher's Stone, from a metaphysical standpoint, has to do with this intersection between multiplicity and oneness. Which will literally help you transform anything into anything else by simply moving through it and seeing the commonalities and shifting the protons and the neutrons and all those things until you get whatever you need. And Taken, for example, the visitors, the star visitors, they had the ability to manifest as a spaceship, as individuals, or they could change their form so they could look like humans.
Yes, yes.
I believe there are people on the planet today who are doing this.
I do too.
Who might even be listening to this program.
Yes, I agree with you on that one.
And Lance and I would like you to send us instructions right away.
Please, please.
Be the quickest way to lose weight, if you wanted to do that.
All my life I've been attracted to all of that kind of stuff. And I think that's a common theme among those of us who, you know, have this kind of starseed consciousness.
Exactly. So all these changes are coming in to individuals at different times and in different ways, according to their own plan, which was set in motion when they stepped onto the 3D plane of consciousness. And all learning is remembering. I often say to the star kids, do you feel depressed and lost and completely without resource? Realize there's nothing wrong with you. The complete remembering won't fix. And that's really true of all of us. The more we remember, the less gravity we give to these puny things that torture us day in and day out, and the more wonder and awe we're filled with as we stand back and look at the big picture.
Yeah, absolutely. What about the idea of different densities? For instance, a lot of people say that, you know, in the channeling world, that we're headed for fifth density consciousness, or possibly sixth, or even higher. Are those just labels for states that
they're all philosophical
in?
Systems? And again, each of them works because you know there is a room for each of the systems in there. Like if you were to talk to Robert Monroe's people who work with the hemi-sync tapes,
and
they have levels of reality that they've worked out in their conscious astral travels, going all on out to 37 and beyond.
Wow.
There are other people that delineate it differently. When people sit down and tell me their system, I just go ahead, tell me the story. I like to hear it. And if there's something in it that's resonant with me, then I might keep that part of it.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't have to prove or disprove their system, because in the multiverse, everything is true at some level.
Yeah, yeah.
The idea is everything's real, but everything may not be relevant to you.
Yeah, yeah.
So why waste your time fighting it when you can just allow it and then move on to what does attract you, what does excite you?
Absolutely right. It's kind of like the anti-meme saying, you know, life is a banquet and most poor suckers are starving to death.
Exactly.
You know, and you can pick and choose from the banquet table. You know, you don't have to like vegetables if you don't. You can eat meat, and there might even be squid there. I don't know.
Oh, my son, he's my older son, loves anything exotic like that. Jellyfish, squid.
Scorpion.
I think he was a native of something. He is in another life, I'm sure. But anything exotic, he'll eat it.
Well.
Eel, doesn't matter. But this is a lot of what we talk about when we on the site, and I try to put up a basic continuum of an explanation of the reconnection journey as I understand it. Again, I don't claim that's the only model. There are lots of models out there, and I always encourage people to create their own, because eventually that's what's going to have to happen anyway. You're always going to be creating your own. But until then, we get a little shy about that, so we'd rather listen to somebody else and read their instructions.
Yeah,
until
absolutely.
We get to the adolescent stage where we go, forget this, I'll do it myself. So I put stuff out there, and then we have transmissions about what's the upcoming stuff. The Star Children, there's a CD that explains the Star Children journey that's available through the site.
Wow.
And that was created by a friend of mine, Jim Jackson, and I put that together in 2003. A lot of people have been blessed by that story, which came through in 1997, directly from the soul group of the Star Children, who basically said if the reconnections are all those parts of yourself you had to forget about to become human, we represent all those parts of your inner magical child you had to forget about to become an adult.
Well, this sounds like a good time to segue into finding out or having you mention to the listeners where they can find all of your sites and your group, too.
Exactly. www.reconnections.net is the website for the Reconnections channeling. www.thestarchildren.com has the, both of them have access to listening to samples of the CD and being able to obtain that there. I also do readings and consultations with people over the principles. They have sessions with the guides, and they can talk to them and work through some of their own process, again, more as an example of what's possible. And an encouragement for them to go out and begin to make their own connections, you know.
Right.
You know, so that pretty soon you're not looking to someone to tell you what to do. But sometimes when you're in the early process, it does help to talk to someone who's been through some of the stages ahead of you.
Absolutely. And, you know, I check your site, thereconnections.net, frequently because your material just blows me away. It continues to expand my consciousness and delight and challenge. And I just want to thank you for all the wonderful work you do and for sharing yourself with all of us on the show tonight.
Thank you. And we do have on that site, by the way, reconnections.net, there are links to the Yahoo discussion groups, too.
Good.
And you've been an important part of our Star Child Yahoo discussion group for a long time. So we invite people to come on out and meet people from around the world, Star Kids and or other spiritual seekers who they can fellowship with.
Wonderful.
Thanks for having me. It's really been, it's always fun to talk to you, Lance.
I love Danny talking Man. To you, Daniel. I look forward to the next one, too. It just seems like we're old friends and we go back a bajillion years.
A jillion years.
Thanks a lot, Daniel.
Thank you.
Have a wonderful weekend, and thanks to all the listeners. And good night, everybody.